Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Center is our fabulous producer. We always appreciate his help and hard work. And we have a different guest co-host today. Ben Reckley's got the day off. We have Mr. John Shipman with us of Sunbury. He's got maybe a half a century or so of public service in the community, volunteering and helping. He was in the U.S. Army and a wide range of other important elected and appointed and super posts. He's a natural-born listener. He's a conservative, so he's a good offset for maybe some of my views. And he's back. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be back.
Oh, and I'm good. I'm glad to call you a friend too.
That's the
nice part of your resume that I like. So thanks for coming in. You brought us, really connected us to the folks who are associated with the Convention of States. So I want to get an update on that as the show progresses. The last time you were here, we talked a little bit about it, and I thought, well, this is really going to be silly. This is going to be a slow slog. But then we had the suffragettes celebrated this week, and they talked about the fact that they literally battled for 100 years, almost to the day, yep, to get women the right to vote. You know, the folks who finally got that right weren't even remotely close to the generations of the ones who started fighting for it.
Right.
So, Convention of States, which, of course, is a great common sense way to get things done. So, in America, and we'll talk about what that is again. So that's coming up. We can always do that. I'm assuming you stayed up late to watch the convention.
Yeah, I stayed up later than usual, and I think Joe did what he had to do, and I think that he probably exceeded some people's expectations. But I think you need to look at the platform. Politicians say a lot of things when they're campaigning, but the platform is more government, more taxes, more globalism. All of those things benefit the top 10% of Americans and hurt the rest of us because it suppresses our wages and it sends our jobs overseas and so forth. So government is, and I'm quoting Ronald Reagan, government isn't the solution, government is the problem. And our government is so large and so expensive and so out of control that it's totally out of touch with most of the people who live in central Pennsylvania. Washington, D.C. is a bubble, and everybody agrees on that. And those people down there, you know, they socialize together, they live together. It's a whole different world than central Pennsylvania. And they don't understand what goes on in central Pennsylvania. And unfortunately, eventually, if a person is there too long, they become a Washingtonite instead of a Pennsylvanian or instead of a Virginian or instead of a Californian, and that's what goes on.
They get sucked into the vortex. Same thing happens on a smaller scale in Harrisburg. We send good leaders down there, and next thing they come back, and they're speaking Harrisburg speak, and you're like, yep, wait, you forgot to talk New Berlinese.
You're right.
That's what we speak. So, but okay, well, let's talk about that. Yeah, the vortex changing our elected leaders and all of our people that are used to live around here and now work in Washington or Harrisburg. So we can talk about that. Convention of States, of course, we did have Joe Biden. I was pleasantly surprised at his remarks last night. I'm not a big Joe Biden supporter. I would have never picked him in a wide-open primary. But I, like many people, just can't vote for Donald Trump, you know, holding my nose the whole time, so I wouldn't do that. But I was pleasantly surprised. I thought he did a good job in his remarks, and so we'll get some reaction to that. We would invite you you to call us and talk about this. We can talk about the convention last night or the Joe Biden remarks. I see one email is pending that has Joe Biden listed as a subject. So read that. Another one lists the Democratic convention. That's not a brand new email, but we'll read that. And three other ones list Goodyear as the subject. So President Trump versus Goodyear. I know somebody had a meme on Facebook. Yes. Are you on Facebook? I don't even know.
No.
Okay. Well, one of the things people do is run these pictures that just really say one or two words about a subject and show the president getting into the beast, the vehicle that they haul him around in, and the Goodyear tires plainly marked on the vehicle. And they're not regular tires. I guess they're run flat extraordinaire, but nonetheless, the Goodyear is really plainly visible because they have tire shine on it and you can see it. So,
yeah, one thing I'd like to say about corporations. Our country is absolutely divided almost right down the middle, 50-50. So why would you open your mouth and try to please 50% when you know you're going to alienate 50%? Why don't you just keep your mouth shut, sell your tires? If you're gonna let one T-shirt in, you need to let all T-shirts in. If I was
I thought you were talking about the president should shut his mouth. You're talking about Goodyear.
I'm talking about corporations. Okay. I was a businessman for 40 years in the Valley. You had to dress appropriately for an office. We didn't let T-shirts in and stuff like that and so on. But why would a company choose sides? Why professional sports has chosen sides. They're losing the baseball and basketball. The viewership is down. Baseball used to turn 5-6 regularly for games, 5-7 million people. Now it's 1.5 million. Why would you alienate large portions if you're in business? Why would you alienate large portions of the populace by taking sides? If it's okay to wear this T-shirt, then it should be okay to wear that T-shirt. But if I was a businessman, I would say, listen, we're in the business of selling tires and servicing vehicles, and we're apolitical. We're not choosing sides. If you as an individual employee are passionate about a party or a candidate, that's fine. Just don't bring it to work.
Don't wear it. So don't wear any messages. Well, that seemed to be the irony of the Goodyear policy, was that it allowed some messages like Black Lives Matter could, which is political, although it doesn't have a specific candidate associated with it. But MAGA hats would be prohibited.
And so would Blue Lives Matter.
Okay.
So, okay, what's wrong with if Black Lives Matter is okay?
Law enforcement.
Why is Blue Lives Matter wrong?
Well, they're afraid they're alienate criminals who need a new tire.
Yeah, but the criminals are about 8% or 6% of the population. The rest of us are mostly decent people.
One of our local law enforcement officers says criminals only buy one tire at a time. Just fix the right front one.
If you're really a criminal, you don't buy your tires. You just take them.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's why you see vehicles up on block. Excellent point. All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please call us now. They are a fabulous apolitical organization that would just welcome everybody of any interest to their doors. So we thank them for being a good sponsor. You can check out their vehicles, tires, servicing. Of course, they have a wide range of tires available to you if you go there, including some Goodyears. So they would just love to super serve you, as they have done literally for more than a century. SunburyMotors.com is their website. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com and text us at 70236. But I think one corollary to this idea of a corporate opinion, you should try to be as nonpartisan as possible, is should not a corporation have a conscience? If you see something, for example, a corporation that comes out and says, we are pro-life across the board, you think of Hobby Lobby or Conestoga, where they ended up having to really stand up for that belief. Should you not stand up for that, even though you will alienate those who may be pro-choice if you take that stand?
I don't think so. I think that as a business, you have employees that are pro-life. You have employees who are pro-abortion. Okay. the business should just stay out of politics. Now, where there's really wrong, if the corporation is discriminating against people, that's a different thing. Corporations have an obligation to treat every customer with equal grace and equal, not discriminate against customers in any way. You know, you can discriminate in more ways than just not serve somebody. You can give this person this price, and you can give another person another price. Okay. Who's going to know that? You know, if you and I went to Goodyear to buy tires, and they said, "Oh, well, we know Mark; he's a good guy. We'll sell this tire to him for $60." And then John comes in, and they say, "Well, you know, John, we don't like the color of his skin, or the color of his hair, or we don't like his position."
I heard you on the Mark.
Yeah,
conservative.
Right. So we're going to charge him $80 for the same tire. How would I know that? I mean, there's a lot of ways to discriminate other than just refusing service. And, you know, I am dedicated, and I think every American needs to be dedicated to the fact that we are all created equal. Every human being deserves to be treated with dignity and respect and not be discriminated against. And period. And if we all did that, we wouldn't have the issues we have.
1-800-795-9565 on the topic of, we have one call coming in and one waiting on the topic of Goodyear. One of our listeners says, Goodyear didn't just ban any political items, but also banned Blue Lives Matter and All Lives Matter items while stating that it's okay to wear Black Lives Matter items. That's the main rub of a lot of people, so be aware of that. Let's see, dump Trump. Okay, so that's a different topic. Let's see, another listener says, regarding the gentleman who cited the slide from Goodyear. I'm also disturbed folks don't necessarily have all the information. A tweet from Goodyear's yesterday. Goodyear became the focus of a conversation that created misconceptions about our policies and our company. Goodyear has always wholeheartedly supported both equality and law enforcement. It will continue to do so. They say, first, the visual in question was not created or distributed by Goodyear Corporate or was part of its, nor was it part of a diversity training class. To be clear, our longstanding corporate policy is Goodyear has zero tolerance for any form of harassment or discrimination to enable a work environment free of harassment or discrimination. We ask all associates to refrain from workplace expressions in support of political campaigning of any candidate or political party, as well as similar forms of advocacy that fall outside the scope of racial justice and equality issues. We appreciate many diverse viewpoints. Basically, what they're saying is that what people are talking about isn't the real policy for the whole corporation.
Well, now that could be one of two things. That could be a CYA statement,
a revision, slight revision on our policy,
that came out because of the blowback they got, or it could be a true statement that some individual or some, obviously this happened at a Goodyear location, and the people, the employees were shown this by Goodyear management. Now, it may not be top management at the company, but we don't know that. How many companies do you see that make a statement and realize they've stuck their foot in their mouth and then say, well, that's not what we meant. We don't do that.
Clarify.
Yes.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. I always use the example, if you've ever heard of clarified butter, half the good stuff's not there. So if you get something clarified, chances are they've cut something out. All right, so that's what Mr. John and I started our conversation, but it is 100% open day. I'm right on schedule to take my break, so I'll do that. I got two callers waiting. It is open phones, as I mentioned. The president was in Old Forge. We can talk about his remarks there. I love his, he said it again yesterday, that the individual, Joe left Scranton. Remember that, folks. Now, he did go with his family to Wilmington. He was nine, so I guess he didn't want to get left behind. But in any event, so that's a good line, I think. And we can talk about that. Of course, Goodyear and the Joe Biden acceptance. So we do have an email that's listed Joe Biden, so we'll read that on the radio as our show progresses. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Said stupid.
You'll never know who we were talking about. All right. Welcome back. WKOK Live telephone talk show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Eric's been kind enough to wait a short time. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, John. Welcome to the program. Mark, as always.
Good morning.
I like to talk about the speech, the Joe Biden speech last night. Unfortunately, Joe McGranahan is not with us today. I was going to ask him how he thought that Mr. Biden looked after, as Joe would say, coming out, hiding in his basement. I thought it was perhaps one of the greatest political speeches I've ever heard in my life. It was done live. He wouldn't have had to. He could have taped it, and then he could have, you know, made it perfect. It wasn't perfect, but it was from the heart. I think it showed how much of a family man Joe Biden is. It showed how much a man of faith Mr. Biden is, and how much he is a survivor of great tragedy. Yeah, when I heard that the president, you know, chided in his speech yesterday up in at Marietta Lumber Supply, also interesting that he showed up at a lumber yard to give his whatever instead of at a school or something like that yesterday. But he said Joe left Scranton. No. Joe went with his family because his dad had to find a job. Now, Mr. Trump, President Trump, has left his hometown of New York City. I believe he's now registered to vote in Florida, if I'm not miscorrect.
Yep, that's correct.
Because he goes down to his mansion down there. His mansion, the money his daddy gave him. Of course, we'll never know how much money his daddy gave him because till this day, unlike every previous president in the United States, he has refused to even show us his finances and his tax returns.
So why is it hiding?
And we talk about, you know, Mr. Biden's hiding. You know, no, Mr. Trump is hiding.
So why is it wrong for Mr. Trump not to release his tax returns when no other president in the history of this country has released their tax returns? Why is he singled out to be different?
No other president in the United States ever released their tax returns?
They don't release their tax returns.
Some previous candidates may have. Is that what you're talking about? Sometimes candidates do.
Where do you get the information that no other president's ever released their tax returns?
Wait a minute.
To show where they have their investments and so forth.
They have released a summary.
And Mr. Trump has released even a summary?
No, I don't think he's released anything.
Exactly. Thank you. What's he hiding from, John? What's he trying to hide?
Well, financial information.
He hasn't paid taxes like all of his, so many of his big corporate bigwigs. He hasn't paid taxes. I give Mr. Biden great kudos for saying, yes, we're going to have to bite the bullet in the United States. We're going to have to look at ways of raising revenue because this president, the current one we have, has given in such tremendous deficits that we're going to have to somehow pay for this big bill he's run up by giving tax breaks to, yes, a little bit to the common man, but greater to his rich friends.
Actually, the common man has done better under Donald Trump than they have under the last four presidents. Under President H.W. Bush, under President Clinton, under President W. Bush, and under President Barack Obama.
And how do you do that when
I talk? You know, if I can
talk.
I
don't know, can you?
I'm trying to explain, but you
May
keep interrupting.
May I talk?
May I talk?
Go ahead.
From 2000 until 2016, the working class saw zero improvement in their income. The top 10% saw substantial. Now, this is under W, and this is under Barack. Okay? The working people saw zero improvement. Since 2017, the working class has seen a greater increase in their income than the upper class. I think that speaks well for the programs that Donald Trump has put into place.
And Don, you're trying to say now there's less of a gap, income gap, between the lowest 10% and the highest 1% of the that you know that's false. You and I both know that's false.
I didn't say that. You're putting
rich who can afford to invest in the stock market, but the common man. And what about this past year?
Eric,
the common man is doing better.
Hold on, stand by, John. Eric, we'll give you the last word. You get 10 more seconds. Go right ahead.
I just thought that the vice president showed himself well. That he is a straight-thinking, clear-thinking man, and he is the man for the job to become President of the United States in November.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much. Tom, you're next up. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I want to congratulate you for getting at least a more reasonable guy on for your host. Listening to Ben is like listening to Jim Jordan or Louis Gohmert. So I want to congratulate you for getting a reasonable co-host.
A different conservative good guy.
I doubt me and John agree on everything, but, I mean, he's pretty reasonable guy.
Okay.
And as far as the taxes, Joe Biden released 21 years of his taxes, and Kamala Harris has released her taxes. As far as the economy doing better under Trump, it would be a lot better if he would want to raise the minimum wage. Donald Trump will not raise the minimum wage, and neither will the Republicans. So you can't blame Barack Obama because other people don't want to raise the minimum wage. They tried, and they'll try again. I think what they should do is get rid of this 60 votes. And if they can win and get the majority, I think they ought to just pass it and just say the heck with the Republicans. As far as Joe last night, I didn't hear any mistakes. They said he was a bumbling idiot. I didn't hear any mistakes. I don't know what we're going to hear out of Donald Trump. But I think Donald Trump's in a lot of trouble. You have John Kasich is not voting for him. The only living Republican president, which is George Bush, will not even go to Donald Trump's convention, or won't speak. You had numerous people on that show, on that convention, that said they voted for Donald Trump the last time. They will not be voting for Donald Trump this time. What you're going to see next week, compared to what you saw this week, is you're going to see... And I know the Republicans say they're not prejudiced, they're not racist. Next week you will see 95% white people. 95% you will see white people compared to what you saw this week.
Well, you'll see a disproportionate number of people of color and women brought forward so that they can show that they do have plenty of women
and
people of color.
Well, you might see some. You're not going to see what you saw this week.
I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of the same elements. All right, Tom, thank you so much. We got to move on and grab another caller, but you can call back after the hour. We'd love to hear. Mike, we'll give you a couple moments here. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, I'm calling to defend my fearless leader. And you might ask me why I call him my dear fearless leader. It's because I was actually talking to a rather intelligent person, and he said that, you know, we us Trump supporters view Trump as our fearless leader, dear leader, which means we view him as a Hitler-type person. And I found that very astounding, that the people on the left have such animosity towards Trump supporters. Now, you've had a couple of supporters of Biden on the radio, and I don't want to talk down to them. I don't want to criticize them. I just want to say that I disagree with their outlook on what is best for this country in the future. And that's why I'm supporting Donald Trump, because I believe that his process, what he sees for a future of the country, is better than what the Democrat left sees for the future of the country. Now, I didn't watch all of Biden's speech last night, and it was read from a teleprompter. He didn't, you know, talk off the cuff, you know, so I'm not going to give him credit for being able to put together a lot of sentences or anything like that. But the bottom line is, what I heard was, I only heard feelings and some visions about, you know, unity, but I didn't hear anything specific about what he wants to do. Now, I'm not a big political kind of guy. Maybe that's not the place for it. But so far, the only person that I've heard speak at this convention was that AOC, and she told us exactly what she wanted. So I admire her.
All right. Call back, finish up. We appreciate it, Mike. We're at the top of the hour. We're too much Eric and not enough Mike and Tom. So thank you, sir.
Hey,
but do call back.
I'd be glad to give my time to my opponent.
Okay. Thank you. All right. John Shipman's got a few words to say, too. We didn't even give him an open mic. So everybody got squished together here at the end. But we have an hour ahead of us. So everybody gets the open mic coming up. This is WKOK Sunday.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings. Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, as the deep voice man indicated. Our good co-host today is John Shipman. All you folks in Sunbury will know him, and we see him, of course, regionally, too, and insurance and finance and smart decisions and investing. You've been helping people with this. How long have you been in business right around here?
50 years.
Okay. So, well, nobody should be in finance that long. All right. No, I'm quoting one of John's phrases about politics, but we'll get back into that shortly. So, On the Mark is sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is now open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. We are talking about Joe Biden and government and tax returns and some other topics, so we invite you to call us now. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. A mask up or pack up. That's the word from the Bucknell University president, Dr. John Brovman, who is reminding students that it is a privilege to be studying on campus, in person, face-to-face, and the university has literally spent millions of dollars on testing and other precautions to make sure that students are safe. But the linchpin is masking and precautious activity. Is that even an adjective? Precautious activities? I didn't even know that. So, but anyway, he says he has multiple reports of students not wearing masks in and around the community and enjoying parties where there's no social distancing. He's telling students who decline to wear their mask based on whatever belief they have to please leave the campus now before you infect someone else. Two students have tested positive. The university required two positive tests before a student could come to campus. Of course, then, of course, you have the travel transition, which can be a time of exposure for individuals. And then on campus, all students are tested every 10 days. They are not allowed to leave Lewisburg or East Buffalo Township, and they are not allowed visitors on campus when the semester is underway. So once they get these two asterisk cases out of the way, they think they'll be able to continue with schooling. But students are going to have to mask up or pack up, says Dr. Brovman. Reading, writing, and masking on the mind of Linda Schlegel-Culver this week on our On the Mark program when we asked her about precautions, and she says she favors in-person classroom.
I've always said that this pandemic has affected everybody quite individually, and I think parents and students need to do what they're most comfortable doing, and if that is going back into the schools, then that's what they should do. If that is keeping them home and doing a cyber program with the school, I think that's what they should do.
Linda Schlegel-Culver says she believes going back to school will have a positive impact on students' mental health, and that's quite important. Also favors school sports if they are able to do so safely. Selinsgrove Grove and Warrior Run schools are back in. Number of individuals who've died from COVID-19 now at 22 in Northumberland County, with the addition of two deaths added to the list yesterday. Northumberland County has 595 people who've tested positive for COVID-19. 22 Union County cases, just the two on Bucknell's campus, three at the Lewisburg Federal Pen, all the rest scattered throughout Union County, those new cases. As we mentioned, Mr. President Trump was in Old Forge yesterday, making sure that as folks watched their hometown hero, Joe Biden, accept the nomination, that he wanted them to keep a few things in mind about the Democrats when it comes time to vote for them.
They want to cancel you, totally cancel you. Take your job, turn your family against you for speaking your mind while they indoctrinate your children with twisted, twisted worldviews.
The president spoke at an outdoor rally at a business called Mariotti Lumber in Old Forge, Pennsylvania. He said this is one of the businesses that is enjoying a great deal of business these days because of the building boom that has resumed under President Trump. Meantime, Democratic candidate for President Joe Biden accepted his party's nomination during the convention last night.
We can choose a path of becoming angrier, less hopeful, more divided, a path of shadow and suspicion, or we can choose a different path and together take this chance to heal, to reform, to unite, a path of hope and light.
And that is Joe Biden speaking last evening. One other note in the news, New Berlin Day is being held tomorrow with masking and social distancing. And they'll have, I love this phrase, they have spaced out vendors. So if they appear to be a little googly, you'll know why. And mask required, hand washing stations set up, but they got all the antiques and food. I've been to New Berlin Days many times, but never very late in the morning. Best to get there early so the Stanley tools are still at the vendors there. One of our good listeners sends a note that says, I was really inspired by Joe Biden's speech last night. Regardless of whether or not you agree with him on policy, you have to admit it, he's a decent, resilient man. After listening, I thought, I hope that Thursday was the last time I hear Joe McGranahan suggest that Joe Biden is in cognitive decline. Best, Taylor. Signed there. Maybe he's not in cognitive decline. I said that too, so I might have been out of line, but he definitely can't ad lib anymore like he used to. Although, if you see that film of him back, what was that, the 1980s, where he's telling somebody he has a super high IQ?
I think that he's gaffe prone. I think that his supporters will say, well, he was always gaffe prone, and for his opponents, they'll point out that it's a sign of aging. You know, none of us are as sharp as we used to be. I think Joe does have some problem. He's fine when he's scripted, but when you get him talking to a reporter, he just gets things all. He couldn't remember the other day. Couldn't remember when he was inaugurated as vice president, and it was asked several times in the interview by a liberal journalist, and couldn't remember when he was. I mean, you know, everybody should remember that, you know.
Was he just a placeholder for the Democrats so they can get Trump out and get other stuff happening?
Well, there are some people who think that might be the case. I don't think so. I think that the Joe was selected because he was the most, by the Democratic leadership, because he was the closest to the middle of the road candidate that they had. If you looked at the rest, they're all way out, pretty much out on the left, including Kamala Harris. But Joe Biden's a known quantity. He's been around a long time. He's been a loyal party guy, and he has a lot of people that support him. And I think that the party got behind him. You know, it wasn't until the Georgia primary, when the Georgia congressman, you know, came out and said we have to vote for Joe, and within 3 weeks, he was virtually had the nomination locked up. So I think that the Democratic leadership looked at things and said, you know, this is moving way too far left, and we need somebody closer to the center. The problem isn't Mr. Biden. The problem is the platform. If you look at the Democratic platform, it's trillions of dollars for green energy, which, by the way, isn't working out real good in California. but trillions of dollars in additional taxes, more government, more globalism, send our jobs back overseas. This is the Democratic platform. Now, Mr. Biden, you know, I think he's a good and decent man. But Mr. Biden isn't going to run the show. He's the leader. If he's elected, he'll be the leader of our country. He'll be my president. He'll be the leader of the Democratic Party. But the leader of the party doesn't have all the power, and the legislation is going to come out of the Senate and the House. And what's he going to do?
One of our listeners sends a note, says, I watched some of the highlights this morning, but again, they still have no plan. It's all dump Trump. Personally, I do not hope that the Democrats win because they have no plan. And if they do win and they will be unsuccessful, they'll just blame it on Trump. And I don't want to hear four more years of blaming everything on Trump again. Mike, you're on the mark from Millmont, PA. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. How do I sound okay?
Well, yeah, you sound good. You sound great.
Yeah, I had to be on my speakerphone today. It's a long story.
Okay.
I'm going to agree that the your cohort you got on there sounds way more reasonable than that guy you usually have on there.
Ben. Ben's ultra-conservative. Let's see, and you're just natural-born conservative. There's a difference.
I'd like to get something straight about the Obama economy, if I could, for a second. I started investing when I was in 1978, and I've always had good. My portfolio always did well under Democratic administrations. From 2008 to 2017, my portfolio increased by 160%, and that's when I was retired and not paying any money into it. So that was all based on dividends and the actual value of the mutual funds I was invested in. You understand what I just said?
Oh yeah. If you started investing.
From 2008, it went from 6,000 stock market to almost 19,000 by the end of 2016, and that was President Obama's administration.
Well,
that's you know that to be a fact right there, Mr. Conservative guy.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt that the market, which cratered to the worst levels just before or while President Obama was being elected, came back all of his 8 years and did well. What we need to remember is it went from 18,000 to just under 30,000 in 3 years under Donald Trump until the COVID lockdown. So if...
You know, hey, that's fine. You know what? I do understand that, but how can you continually badmouth the Obama's...
I didn't.
160%. Also, I mean, he didn't. It's not like he flubbed it.
I didn't say anything at all about that. What
no,
I said
the
is
other guy does. The other guy, Joe.
Well, I'm not Joe. I'm not Joe. So you know,
Joe has the day off.
What I said was, and I was misquoted by the guy who was talking. What I said was that from 2008 until 2016, the working people saw no increase in their income. It was flat over that eight-year period. Now, I realize there were two downturns in the market. The market came on strong. But the market and the economy are two different things. The market is what goes on in selling and buying and selling stock. The economy is where we work and how much we earn. So the
Hold on, Mike.
At the same time, the upper 10% were making tremendous gains in their businesses and so forth. And that was my point. But if you're going to compare stock markets, and we compare 8 years under Barack Obama and 3 years under Donald Trump, the 3 year stock market under Donald Trump has done better than 8 years under Barack Obama. And the other gentleman who was talking about just the rich being in the stock market, you're one that's in the stock market. 70 million Americans have a 401k, and those 401k dollars are invested in the stock market. So it's just not the top few percent that own stocks in the United States. 70 million Americans have 401ks.
including me.
Did you hear me say that it's not doing well under Trump? I'm just saying that it also did well under President Obama. Is that so hard to understand?
I agreed with you. I know. Why don't you?
Okay, well, that's all I'm saying. But to badmouth President Obama and say he had a lousy.
I did not say that.
Nobody said that.
Listen, I was the vice president of my union local for 20 years, and wages hadn't increased for decades, not just during President Obama's administration.
I agree.
There was Republicans and Democrats all along for 40, 50 years where wages didn't even keep up with inflation. Now you know that.
Well, wages kept up until the mid-90s when we started sending all, we passed something called NAFTA, and we started sending all those good American jobs overseas because we didn't want all the smokestack industry. We wanted to be a nice, clean, environmental country. So we sent all the smokestack jobs overseas. We sent the auto, any manufacturing jobs overseas.
That's true. You know what was unfortunate about NAFTA? It was passed by the Republicans and signed by Democrat. That's pretty sad.
It was a bipartisan, actually. There were Democrats that voted for it.
Republicans were in charge of
I agree with that. I agree with that.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for calling in. Really, really appreciate it. Lance, thank you for waiting. You are on the mark. Last caller before a quickie break. Go right ahead.
Well, anyway, the reason why the market went up so much back when was because it had gone down so far to start with. I mean, at 8,000, that was down, what, about 50% from its high in the 90s?
Right.
Pretty sure. Right?
Yep, right, 50%.
Right. So that was wise to know. I had stocks there. But anyway, just 10 seconds on it, that the Convention of States is still like your car needing spark plugs and you pull the motor out to do it. I mean, I just think that way. That's it. We're not going to talk about that at all. But Joe Biden told lies and half-truths in his speech that were incredible. It's like when he said about Charlottesville, never said the rest of what Trump said after he said that there were good people on both sides. That it did not include the skinheads, the Nazis, you know, the whole bit. I mean, he went the whole thing. But they never, never go further. And I've heard that noised abroad how many times, you know, about that. What kind of a guy is he? There were people from the Historical Society. Matter of fact, my sister lives in Richmond. There were some friends of hers were there. And all they wanted to do was make sure that statue did not get destroyed. They wanted to take it, you know, somewhere else and just have a display of it, you know, somewhere else. When I was listening to President, our current president, on there, he must have said the word democracy 25 times in his speech. I guess it was to drive home the Democrat. And we are not a democracy, thank goodness. We are a republic. Remember the story, you know, about Benjamin Franklin? They said, what have you created here? And he said it famously, a republic, if you can keep it. We have a representative republic. And, of course, you remember the story of, the definition of a democracy, of course, is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. So, it is.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And they knew, our founders knew, that a democracy was born to failure from its inception. Because you're going to get 51% of the people telling what the other path should do, and there's soon revolution, and down the chute.
Down
they
it goes.
They knew exactly what they were doing. And also, Biden was talking about his old not a whisper of scandal. Good gravy, pal. The IRS, where they were pigeonholing the applications for tax-exempt status of individuals and, for organizations, it looked like they were conservative and just kind of put them on the back burner, and they turn up the heat under the ones that looked like they were liberal. And they admitted it, that they did it. It cost us like about $150 million to pay off the people that were wronged. And then everybody else there just fell on their swords, and the head of it, Lois Lerner, retired. But, you know. And then, of course, there was Fast and Furious, you know, with all the guns. There was, they figure, as many as 1,700 guns were bought with taxpayer money to go to Mexico. So they'd get in trouble, and they could trace them back and say, see, what's going on? And that's exactly what was going on. And when they got Holder to testify after the president said that he evoked executive privilege because the Justice Department, of course, is under him. Well, anyway, and Holder had to go testify about it, he just clammed up. And he said, I'm here as the president's wingman, and that was it. And those were exact words. Now you're telling me that isn't a scandal? So... this stuff here. And also, here about Frederick Douglass, I can easily see why they tore down his statue. Here's a quote from him. I have a lot of others, but one of my favorite people. He says, I am a Republican, a black, dyed-in-the-wool Republican, and I never intend to belong to any other party than the party of freedom and progress. That would get him nailed, wouldn't it?
I guess. All right. You're thank you so much.
Yep. He also said about there's the word slave and slavery is not found anywhere in our founding documents when they were taking him to task when they thought he was an Uncle Tom back when. Okay, bye-bye.
Yep, thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565. We've got open phones right now. 1-800-795-9565. We invite you to visit sunburymotors.com. See their entire Ford, Lincoln, Kia, and Hyundai selection. You can look at it all online, and every vehicle has multiple pictures. Plus, they got a pre-owned inventory. You can click right there and get the online registration of who owned it and what they did with it and how it might have changed hands or anything like that. But all those vehicles are 100% ready, have been through a 200-point check and a fix-up and are ready to go. But buy new. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, and Hyundai are certainly great opportunities. Jason, Jeff, Ernie, Austin, and Kyle are the great dealers there, and they would just love to help you out. Select your perfect vehicle. Purchase it online right from your home. Do as I've done. Go to the quick lane. Get pumped up with nitrogen. Get your body work done. Get yourself aligned. It sounds like we're going to the chiropractor, but they'll fix you up at the Sunbury Motor Company. Make sure that your vehicular days are happy ones. Monday through Friday, the quick lane is open 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday morning, they open at 6:30 in the morning. They're up before I am, but not before John. But they are up super early, 6:30 to 2 on Saturday. Check out all this and the many accoutrements of the Sunbury Motor Company at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Okay, there's a couple of good points here. One of our good listeners sends us a note via text. It says, Eric, Joe Biden is an empty suit. He's been in Washington, D.C. for over 40 years, yet you think now all of a sudden he has the answers to help you fix the country. Where was that fix for 8 years when he was the vice president under his pal Obama? Biden has no new ideas. It's his puppet masters that put the words in his mouth again. Joe Biden spoke the line guy of Charlottesville, and he blames Trump for it. Let's see. On tax returns, he says it should not be required for anybody to release their tax returns. And on the topic of Goodyear, MAGA is a movement, just like Black Lives Matter is a movement. The products should be worn. AP is coming out with fact checks. So far, only one is in yet, and not on Joe Biden's remarks last night. This one about Senator Cory Booker. It says, together with Joe and Kamala in the White House, Cory Booker said, we'll raise the minimum wage so no one who works in full-time jobs lives in poverty. The fact, AP says, that's improbable, even with a $15 per hour minimum wage. Isn't it funny? I'd made the same mistake twice when I pre-read this to John.
That's a great wage.
Yeah, $15 million a year. A 2019 report by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimated increasing the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour would lift 1.3 million Americans out of poverty, a small fraction of the roughly 38 million people living in poverty in 2018. So, and this was before a wage war, right? We were talking a little bit about
that. Listen, when we keep jobs here in America and there's competition, you don't need a minimum wage. Walmart now is paying $11 to start, and all the other major retailers have had to match that. So if you go to work in retail today, you start at $11. The federal minimum is like $7.75. The federal minimum wage is irrelevant today because the market has gone way beyond that. Now, it's not $15, but there's very few places that a few fast food places are still paying like maybe 10, but you know the minimum wage is $7.75. You can't hire anybody for $7.75 today.
Right, and so that figure from 2019, 1.5 million people would certainly be a smaller number now because everybody is paying higher wages. But okay, so that's that. Let's see. One of our good listeners sends us a note. Is this program funded by the Republican National Committee? Can you please find a more balanced co-host at least once a week, referring to me, of course, not to you.
I think to me.
we have good conservatives here. We just don't have any good Democrats. Gaffe-prone? Joe Biden is gaffe-prone? Have you listened to President Trump speak unscripted? It's a walk down a winding path of lies and half-truth. Yeah, it's funny that folks would call out Joe Biden for not saying things that are true. One of the ads that's put on TV by a PAC has him, you know, telling this big lie about his IQ back in the 80s or something. But this kind of thing can stick, even because I don't think the president's lies don't seem to bother Republicans. Nobody's voting for Donald Trump. They're just voting for Republican ideals versus Democrat ideals.
The problem is that we have become so polarized. Both men are, in my opinion, fairly deeply flawed. Okay? Donald Trump is certainly no paragon of decency. Okay, he has done nice things for people over the years, but he speaks first and then thinks second. But that's Donald Trump. He's a rough, tough guy that grew up in the markets, the real estate market in New York. He fought Mayor Koch and won. Mayor Koch lost his. Donald Trump's a street fighter, Joe Biden has been I think that he was for the working guy when he was first elected to the Senate, but by the 1990s he was a Washingtonian. He was no longer a Delawarean, even though he went home on a regular basis. Too long in Washington, and you forget what the real people out here have to put up with. But we become so polarized, you can't even express an opinion without somebody attacking you personally. Okay? When we have vigorous debate about ideas, the best ideas survive, and the worst ideas just fade away. We need to debate ideas. We need to have a vigorous debate on what's good for the country. But we're not doing that. What we're doing is making villains out of each other, calling each other names, people we don't even know call other people names, and you know, that doesn't get us anywhere. What we need to be able to do is vigorously debate ideas. We're going to stick with personalities, and that's what we're doing. We're just going to destroy the country. We are now in a position. I'm 76 years old, and I've never seen a divided country like this. Even during the Vietnam War, and I was an adult during that era, and we had some riots in the streets and so forth. But that was one issue. That was get us out of Vietnam. Okay, mm-hmm. This is every issue. There isn't any issue you can discuss today that doesn't become political. And I sent you a clip from 1984 that I brought along just because I thought I might need to read it or might want to read it today. Now let me just...
Are you enjoying cognitive decline or something?
I am.
All right, well, you look that up. Let me take the quick break. I got to stay on schedule. Al, you're going on the radio as soon as we get back, and then we're going to read this that John's looking up here. We'll be right back. Ask for calls. You got them? You wanted to look something up?
Yeah, I want to read this quote from George Orwell's book, 1984. Quote, "In our age, there is no such thing as keeping out of politics. All issues are political issues, and politics itself is a mass of lies, evasion, fallacy, hatred, and schizophrenia." Written in 1946.
No, it was written yesterday. You're kidding me, right? All right, Al, thank you so much. We owe you. You're very patient, so we appreciate that. Good morning.
Good morning. And everything is relative.
Okay.
And everything is. But I wanted to talk about the wheels of justice. They've been going really slow the last 3 years, and all but stopped and maybe went in reverse a little bit. But now the wheels of justice are starting to move again and coming in. That was the first term for President Trump. Now the second term for President Trump, with these wheels of justice moving again, the Democrats have to win, because if they don't, the direction the wheels are moving are heading right toward the Obama coup and all the corruption that's going on in all these higher institutions like the FBI, the CIA, or wherever. Too many big government agencies were involved, and that's why you have all these people just going absolutely apey, because they've got to win, or this wheels of justice is going to go right in that direction, and that will expose what's going on, and then that exposes the big problem, and then after that, you fix the problem first, and then after that, you find out how it happened. And then after that, you figure a way so it doesn't happen again. And all that is just the natural progress of things. And like I said, it's moving really slow, but I think it's going the right direction. And President Trump is going to find out, and he knows he's pushing it. And soon it will all come to light.
Al, I assume you're talking about the former employee of the FBI that pleaded guilty to falsifying information on the dossier.
Yes, on the dossier.
Okay.
And that's the small wheel right there. And if he starts chirping, it just goes from there.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the former administration was involved in a false dossier. It was paid for by the Clinton administration and the DNC, and then made to look like it was actual stuff. Now we find out that the key source, which was supposed to be a Russian citizen, is now actually somebody who lives in a former Russian who lives in Washington, D.C. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff going on there that's going to come out.
Yeah, and then I think there will be a little bit of peace, because everything is relative. I mean, I'm walking around and I'm thinking there's not going to be any justices in this country until Obama is held responsible for what happened. And what happened on the tarmac with Hillary being excused for the
when Bill met with Loretta Lynch.
Yeah, I mean that was, and then he comes on. I mean, they just been burying this thing, and whatever they say is what's going on. Whatever they projected us I'm saying us, is the conservatives, whatever they projected the conservatives, it seems that they've already done it. And they're projecting some pretty scary stuff.
All right. We got you, Al. Thank you so much for your prediction. Appreciate that.
Other points.
Nope, you don't. 4 minutes is our limit. That's about it. We got to move on.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you so much, Al. Dan, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Why, you know, last night I watched a whole Biden speech, and he claims to be the candidate of the light. I strongly disagree that he's the candidate of the light. All he did for the past couple years is throw darkness on our president that we have right now. Even all the things that our President Trump right now is doing, many of them are things that his party talked about doing many years ago, but could never accomplish it. So all he was doing was talking more darkness, as the Democratic Party has done and the anti-Trumpers have done since our president has been elected. And so they're not the party of the light by any means. I think it's Trump's group. We're the people of the light. And by the way, Mark, I didn't vote for President Trump because he was a Republican. I voted for him in spite that he's a Republican, but I voted for his ideas to make America great again. And he carried out most of his programs. There's a few things he couldn't get done, but basically he done most of what he promised. I know the swamp is terribly deep. It's still Washingtonites. It's still deep. And there are a few other things he didn't get done, but mostly he kept his promises. What do you think, John?
Well, I think you could argue that a lot of his programs is normal programs, good Republican programs are okay. It's just all the words. It's the tweeting. It's the lying, you know, which is totally unnecessary. You can have an argument about whether he bumbled COVID or not. I think there's really, that's a no-win situation. But his behavior is reprehensible, and that's what bothers me. I'm a good Democrat. I stand for Democratic ideals. Joe Biden is hardly my first case. Joe got blamed for saying that Joe Biden has cognitive decline today, but I was the person who sat in this table and said it first. But he did fabulously last night, so I guess it's just his off-script remarks that really get him in the doghouse. But I could never vote for Donald Trump. As I've called him, he's a buffoon in so many ways, including many of his policies, so that's why I'm going
that
way.
Shame, Mark, that you feel like that. You got to have an open mind. What he's done for our country in the last 3.5 years, no one has ever done in that short a time. And Trump is not a conventional president. A conventional guy could have never done what he'd done. And if you don't, you don't necessarily have to agree with all the things he says. I don't myself, but I agree wholeheartedly with what he has done for our country, and we definitely need him to be reelected, because this country will go into darkness.
All right, we got you, Dan. We got to stop you there.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
You guys have a great day.
Yeah,
good
you
hearing you on the radio again.
Thank you,
John.
Thanks.
Have fun at New Berlin Day tomorrow. I got to go out there and get a coffee mug. All right. Chris has been very, very patient, so we appreciate that. Good morning, Chris. You're on the mark.
Hey, being for Trump and being against name-calling seems kind of contradictory to me. But he doesn't discuss ideas. He lacks knowledge about almost any subject.
Well, are you a big Trump fan?
He is good at name calling. That's his major thing, and he's good at scams too, as he's proved with his charity and so forth. And he was going to get the best people. I think he met the best scam artists into his administration, judging from how many keep getting arrested.
How many have been arrested?
Well, we just added another one, Bannon.
Okay.
Half a dozen or so. That's, I mean, one. Not 20 or
That's
anything.
That's one. No. I'm just saying.
And how many? And let's see. I think we've had about 3 or 4 resignations from the cabinet because of scandals.
Just give us some names.
Give us some names.
Michael Flynn.
Well, there was 1 or 2 that went because of misappropriation of funds.
Give us some names. Don't tell us 1 or 2.
Oh, I can't recall them at the.
Okay,
that
Bannon.
Was 4 years
Bannon,
ago, 3 years ago.
Bannon was gone.
But you don't think so, huh?
I just want some names.
Okay.
Michael
well,
Flynn. Michael
you know
Flynn.
Any names?
Michael Flynn left the administration. He has been
left the
proven.
Administration? How you're going to phrase it?
He was fired by the president.
He was fired by the president
all the accusations against him have been disproven. The justice.
No, I don't think that's the case.
Let's see. Steve Bannon's just the latest one. Let's see. Roger Stone, Michael Flynn.
Roger Stone was never part of the administration.
Paul Manafort.
Paul Manafort was never part of the administration. They were part of the campaign. They were never part of the administration.
Rick Gates.
And we also,
Michael Cohen.
We have a president.
Michael Cohen was his personal attorney. He was never part of the administration.
George Papadopoulos.
Part of the campaign.
Right. Well, I just said Trump's circle. It doesn't have to be
this gentleman
people that work for the
his
administration. Oops. There we go. Go ahead, Chris.
He's corrupted all sorts of checks and balances. He's fired the inspectors. He has
Barack Obama fired
people as acting so they don't have to be confirmed through the Senate.
When Barack Obama, listen,
hold on, Chris, hold on.
When Barack Obama came into the presidency, he fired every IG in the whole government. No one complained about that. He appointed his own people to every IG post in the whole government. Nobody complained about that. Donald Trump made the mistake of not firing them when he came in. If he'd have fired them when he came in, we wouldn't be having all this discussion.
Oh, but if they investigate anything in his administration, they get fired. And the only one Obama fired like that was after the investigation was completed.
Obama had his own people in there.
But they were any of them acting dishonestly?
He fired every IG
Did any of
in
them
the whole
fired
government.
Because they were investigating Obama.
Well, I don't think any of Obama's IGs would have investigated Obama.
That's where you're wrong.
Give me a name.
You'll
the guy who did the Fast and Furious investigation. He got fired, but only after the investigation was completed.
Who was that?
I remember the name
no.
of the investigator who did the Fast and Furious report.
All right, Chris, you're going to have to wrap up. We've got to go.
You know the report. It was written. Okay, the Republican report from the Senate says that Trump wasn't telling the truth. He has lied about the investigation. He's covered up. He's pardoned people who could have evidence against him or commuted their sentence or pardoned them. He's corrupted the foreign policy by trading foreign favors for political favors. He tried to do it with China, according to Bolton. He did it in Ukraine, as came out in the impeachment. He does corrupt things like that. He also, the income tax thing, that was one of his promises. He was going to release his income tax during his campaign. After he got elected, he changed that.
You know,
and that has been a tradition since Watergate because of Watergate.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris.
Rockefeller had to give up his entire business and stock portfolio in order to become a candidate for vice president.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
And Republicans forced Carter to sell his peanut farm.
We got to stop you there, Chris. Thank you so much.
What happened to those principles?
They're gone by the wayside. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate your help. Thank
you. That's the point. Exactly.
Gotcha. All right. One of our listeners says Steve Bannon was arrested, but not for anything he had to do with the administration. Yeah, these are Trump's circle. Nobody from the administration has been arrested. Let's see. Chris, LOL, the mind reader and know-it-all. It's amazing that he has a leadership position in Washington with all his knowledge. Stan. It's amazing you don't have a leadership position in Washington.
I want to make one correction.
Sure. And then we got to hit a break. Go ahead.
The president divested his interest in the Trump family business, and he is no longer involved in the Trump family business, and he turned it over to his kids. So, you know, like everybody else that ran for president and so forth, he has divested himself of he has no operational responsibility at all.
Yeah, but come on. He's using the presidency to enrich his family all the way through, often, all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How is that? Tell me about that.
Oh, my gosh. Trying to have things at his resorts and hotels and making sure that his kids have all the right opportunities to do stuff. I mean, I don't have specifics in front of me, but and it's not illegal. It's perfectly legal. It's just that's what he's doing. Everybody knows it, and he's allowed to. It's not illegal. It's not really technically even improper. It's like shady in Lawrence's eye.
I would say yes. When you look at it, it's like, you know, that's probably not the best thing to do, but it's not illegal,
right.
and so forth. We need to understand that, you know, if we hate somebody so bad that he can't do anything right, then maybe we need to look at our own opinion and say, you know, maybe I'm just a little biased here.
This is my paper with 7 things on it that the president's done right. I'll show you off, Mike.
Okay.
The rest of the audience has heard him. We'll be right back.
There's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Eric, you get 10 seconds on the air. Go right ahead.
Oops. Well, there's a difference between illegal and unethical. And I think we have to agree this president and many things are unethical. As far as light, I'll take Joe Biden over President Trump as far as...
I agree with that.
We're out of time. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a great week. It's been a great day. We've had lots of interesting comments.
This is WDK, okay, Sunbury.